Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 152 of the war in Israel. So today we're talking about Israel's treason lobby. We're going to talk about three particular individuals, although it's a 28-29 minute show. We might end up talking just about the one that I find particularly despicable. We'll see about that and what Israel's treason lobby is doing. I'll just give a headline before we go into it. Is one of the things that the Israel's left is doing tomorrow. We've spoken about these protests in the Kerem Shalom crossing in between Israel and the Gaza Strip, where Israelis are protesting. The one type of protest that I said I would happily participate in is they're trying to block the humanitarian, so-called humanitarian aid from entering Gaza. So the response of the Israeli left is going to be to drive trucks, aid trucks, to that border. I don't know if they intend to drive them into Gaza. That'll be interesting to see. But drive them to that border as a way of kind of standing up to the protesters. And, you know, this, James, you and I did a show a while ago about the Israeli left asking whether or not it's treason in the legal sense. And I actually, you know, I came into that show kind of with my emotional answer, which is, yes, they're traitors, deal with them as traitors. You kind of corrected me on that, and not everything that, you know, we might be right to judge them as evil and to hate them, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's treason. Here, it would be very clearly treason unless Israel actually did it themselves as a state. So let's start with this, and in this case, we're talking about Alon Lee Green, a particularly despicable left-wing activist in Israel from an organization called Standing Together, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, James, your first thoughts on that.
Well, your first, I just want to endorse what you just said there. You know, in the United States, we have, because of our concern for civil liberties and individual rights, treason is the only crime that's defined within our Constitution, and for Americans to commit treason, they have to actually take up arms against their government or provide aid and comfort, i.e. material support to the enemies. And that is exactly what these Israeli leftists are trying to do. They are directly providing material support, which, you know, a good deal of it is going to be intercepted or taken by Hamas. You know that they're using their civilians strategically. So providing aid and comfort of this kind, I must say, I'm now on your side. Those people would be engaged in what I regard, in an ethical sense, if not in an Israeli legal sense. I'm no authority on the Israeli law of treason. But on the other hand, it seems to me, morally speaking, that is real treason when you're providing material aid to the actual physical enemies that you're at war with. That's treason.
Yeah. Now, again, this is true of all aid that goes into Gaza. Even if you somehow manage to get it past Hamas, you know, we know that Hamas take over these trucks
all the time,
and the
they attack them too. Whether they're going to get them or not, they'll just attack the poor drivers
It's not Hamas that attacks them. It's not just Hamas that attacks them. So Hamas will take them over. But we've seen and shown videos, Daniel. I don't know if you want to show that video again. The one. And this is not the worst one. I mean, there has been at least one incident recently when a truck driver was killed. This was one where we just see, you know, the masses, the Palestinian people, as I keep trying to remind people, attacking the trucks that are bringing in food that you know, would not come in if there is no truck, if there is no driver. This is how they behave, and you know, a question that kind of comes to mind, and I don't want to be one of those super cynical people. No, Daniel, the video of trucks coming in and people throwing stones at them. One thing I would want Israel to say is, look, if you guys drive your trucks into Gaza, you are not a part of any future hostage negotiations or anything. You are with them.
Right.
That's it. You go in there and, you know, Allah will protect you.
You better hope Allah will protect you, because Israel shouldn't. Amen, brother. You know, I have to say, when it comes to Israel's left and the those in Israel, in fact, Jews worldwide, who support Hamas and outright support Hamas after October 7th. I mean, think about that. We defend Israel because they are an outpost of civilization in the midst of savagery and barbarism, and the Palestinians are particularly savage and barbaric, as they demonstrated on October 7th. But by that same token, Israel being more civilized, being more plugged into the ideas of the more civilized world, are more victims of Western philosophy. They are, of course, subject to the pragmatism and the cult of moral grayness. I will again recommend that article by Ayn Rand. Then the Palestinians, who have this religiously grounded, dogmatic certainty in all that they do. Look at that.
We're seeing this in the background. We can keep talking. There's some weird music that came with this video, so I don't think we should listen to that. But this is a good example of the people to whom these traitors want to send in aid. And
As if it were Israel's responsibility to give aid to these people right now. They have no moral duty to feed their enemies. These are people, you could have the discussion with Michael Leibowitz, and I can have sympathy for whatever innocence, quote, innocent, unquote, innocence. But the fact is, the vast majority of the Palestinians support this. And when you're sending in aid to your enemies like that, that is a kind of treason, as we just said. And as I just said, Israel is the most subject, because they're civilized, they're subject to the highfalutin intellectual ideas from the West, which are only undermining any kind of moral clarity on this. It is suicide. It really is suicide. But you see these people, they're attacking the very people who are sending in food and medicine. So to blame Israel, first of all, you say it's Israel's duty to do it. And then, even after Palestinians and Hamas are both attacking the people trying to bring in food and medicine, it's Israel's fault that food and medicine isn't getting in. What?
Yeah, by
What
the
kind
way,
of moral inversion is that?
these trucks came in from Egypt. It's not Jewish drivers or
Well,
anything like
that's
that, which of course
true,
wouldn't
but
justify
wherever
it,
the
but
aid is coming in, they're attacking it.
so again, this standing together is organizing this aid convoy to Gaza. Hopefully, the protesters will stand strong and show up and stand up to these traitors. It's interesting when you look up someone like Alon Lee Green, because when you look him up, you'll see he's a public figure. He talks on different media outlets. One of the first things that came up when I looked him up on YouTube, sorry for the tip jar people, but him being interviewed by Owen Jones on the in still in October, the right at the end of October. And at the beginning, he does what these people do, which is pay lip service to October 7th was horrible. And you can see Owen Jones trying to have this facial expression of agreement, because he also pays that lip service while dedicating his life
Sort
to
of.
doing everything he can to make sure October 7th happens again and again. And the Jews feel in this country, in Britain, like they did in 1930s Germany. And other media outlets. He's on Al Jazeera. He's on basically every despicable media outlet out there, whether it's a dictatorship news source or a wannabe dictatorship journalist. Alon Lee Green will be there. Yeah, James.
Just to allow himself to have a friendly interview with Owen Jones. If anyone has any doubt about the truly evil nature of Owen Jones, the dishonest, despicable excuses for October. Oh no, he pays that lip service. Wasn't it all awful on October 7th? Watch yesterday's reality show on Owen Jones. I do not put a lot of focus on Owen Jones for my own psychological well-being sake, but watch the reality show from yesterday and you will see what a despicable monster Owen Jones is. And merely giving this guy a friendly interview, in my view, tells you most of what you need to know about this guy. He may be Jewish, he may be Israeli, but he is no friend to the cause of civilization or Israel. No.
Yeah, and when we call them, token Jews, it might sound harsh, but I think it's absolutely appropriate. They A person like Alon Lee Green wants these wants to be on foreign news outlets, and specifically the ones that are most anti-Israel. That's where he wants to be. Those media outlets also want him on because this is a way of showing that they're not anti-Semites. Look, we have Jews. We have Jews with us against the Zionist
See,
entity.
Professor Finkelstein effect. What you need to have is you need to have someone who's Jewish or someone from Israel, someone who could say my parents or grandparents were Holocaust survivors, and you'll thrust them out in front of the camera as the token as they mouth these excuses for the monsters of October 7th, even as they pay sort of quasi lip service to, yeah, that was awful, awful. But oh, look at the much worse thing that Israel is doing now in simply defending itself and trying to take out the cause of all of this violence, Hamas.
Early on during the war, we did an episode, a similar episode about token Jews. I don't remember the content that well of that episode. I do remember that the thumbnail was controversial. Some people congratulated me on it. Others had a different opinion, which was of a capo officer with a kind of a Hamas armband. The capo officers were Jewish officers, kind of Jewish officers in the concentration camps, who were appointed by the Nazis and basically got some special privileges within the concentration camp, but had to tell on other Jews or tell on other inmates. And of course, if you refused that job, you were probably going to be worse off than others in the concentration camp. I don't like that comparison because Alondi Green is not in that life or death
Oh,
situation.
he's
He
not in Auschwitz or Dachau, is he? Come on.
So
Jeez. Anyway.
yeah, that is something I kind of regret looking back, although a thumbnail is supposed to attract people to click on it and then we can expand on it. But yeah, this person morally is absolutely inferior to a capo officer. Should we anything else on this guy, or should we go on to the next? I think
Well,
the next, yeah.
my last comment on this guy is that he really is the equivalent. You know, Lenin and the commies from the Soviet Union had a phrase for such people, useful idiot. And this guy is a classic example of a useful idiot in the cause against civilization.
Yeah. By the way, another term I maybe sometimes use, but kind of. I don't like letting them get away with if you call somebody an idiot, you're letting him kind of get away. He doesn't know, you know, he's stupid, he's
Oh, he
ignorant,
knows
whatever.
better. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this person knows better, as does Yuval Avraham. Now we've spoken at length about Yuval Avraham. We dedicated a whole show to him, but I think it's worth mentioning him again here. This is the film producer, director who made a film, won an award in Berlin, gave an anti-Semitic speech, then had some criticism, which of course he was very unhappy with. And yeah.
What's disgusting here? The International Court of Justice is the excuse they use. They win this award for this despicable film that he makes with a monster. Anyway, he wins this. He uses language like genocide and apartheid. Now, Germany, of course, is ultra sensitive to this, as they should be because of the Holocaust. Maybe they have more censorship than I would be comfortable with, but they have rules in Germany about anti-Semitic discourse. You know why they use the how they get away with it? They say, well, look, since genocide is being discussed at the International Court of Justice, this is what the filmmaker said. Surely our discussion of these things in our film is not anti-Semitic. There's nothing anti-Semitic about using words like genocide, because this is the evil behind the International Court of Justice. It opens up the moral sanction for these evil filmmakers to say, what the this isn't anti-Semitic to use words like genocide in this context when it is obscene, a moral obscenity. Now, again, this Jewish filmmaker is what all I can describe him as is a useful idiot, but not an idiot. Someone who obviously, because he's a documentarian and has the research and has the data available, absolutely knows better. So he's worse than a useful idiot. He's a knowing e sanctioner of evil. There's no question about it. If you're at the level of being a documentary filmmaker, And his excuse is, well, look, they can debate it over at the International Court of Justice. Why can't we debate it even in Germany? That tells you the evil of this International Court of Justice thing. It gives moral sanction and cover to these people.
All right, I think enough about that piece of shit. We again did a whole show about him. So the next one is Ofer Kasif. This guy is a member of the Israeli Parliament, the Knesset. He is a I'm gonna just
Is
read.
this the guy who was accused last summer of using his car to assault an Israeli an IDF member? There was a Knesset member, as I recall, who was charged with using his car going trying to get through, and he was charged with assault last summer. He was a member of the Knesset. Is this the same guy?
I don't remember that. It could be. There are enough members of the Knesset who really openly object to the state of Israel's existence. Then there are the ones who pretend they don't object but only support policies that would bring about its demise.
I recall he was a Jewish member of the Knesset in the Arab Party who I think it was last August, who was accused of using his vehicle to hit an IDF soldier who was trying to protect a situation on the West Bank,
If
if I
it's a
recall
Jewish.
correctly.
If it's a Jewish member of Knesset from an Arab party, I'm pretty sure he is the last the only option. So he is from a combination of several parties.
And he's a communist, right? He's an
Yeah.
outright communist.
So that Israel has a proportional representation system. So you vote for a party, not a candidate, and the party has a list. And if
Yeah,
the
that's
party
the guy.
gets to make it easy, if a party gets 10% of the vote of the 120 seats, they get 12 seats. So the 12 first people on that list will get into the Knesset. This party has a official, I don't think this is what they would call it, but an official token Jew spot on their list. It used to be number three. I don't know what it is right now. To make sure that they have that token Jew. Ofer Kasif is that token Jew. He is very much the right man for the job. Yeah, the first word
He's
on
the
his Twitter.
hardcore commie who, Jew who said who compares Israel to the Nazis.
Yeah,
This guy's despicable.
the first word on his Twitter bio is communist. I like it when people get to the point. I've been told we don't always get to the point right at the start of the show. This guy gets to the point right away. He's a communist.
It.
All you need to know about him, but unfortunately, we know a bit more. So you've looked into him, James. Any thoughts, initial thoughts about this guy?
This guy is a vile hater of civilization. That's all. I don't care if he's a member of the Knesset. I don't care if he's a Jewish member of the Knesset. He's a communist who accuses Israel, who compares Israel to the Nazis. He is the token Jew that these evil supporters of Palestinian terrorism put out. A communist who compares Israel to the Nazis. And this guy was accused of running his vehicle into an IDF soldier when the IDF had had a safety blockade on the West Bank last year. That tells you everything you need to know about this entity.
Yeah, now just scrolling through his Twitter, it's tweet after tweet about how horrible Israel is. Here's one thing that Israel does that's horrible. Here's another. Of course, one of the recent ones is the repeating the flower massacre, blood libel, which
Oh.
when Palestinians there was a stampede going to an aid convoy as they do. And then some of them ran at IDF soldiers who defended themselves. Some people died. We don't know how many because we get Hamas numbers and they are always way inflated by a lot. But I in any case, if it was many more than Hamas said, this was not a massacre. It's one of those opportunities for the pro-Palestinian propagandists, like they thought Al Ali Hospital was, and it was used for a little bit before the truth came out. Here it was they did a better job, and he promotes that. But he also, if you go through his tweets, yesterday or the day before, the United Nations issued a report saying that that there is sexual assault going on and rape of the hostages is ongoing. And the ones who were released were raped, and that there's evidence that this happened on October 7th. So he tweeted about that as well. And in that tweet, he said, "But there's always there's always the but, except when you talk about how evil Israel is. And the but is, but this doesn't justify what Israel does, and this is not how he put it, but this would be the honest way to put it. But it doesn't justify Israel taking any action to prevent this from happening again and again, as Hamas has promised to do." That is the right way to read that tweet.
And he's endorsing October 7th. He wants more October 7th. If there's no re if Israel has no right to respond to Hamas from October 7th, then I guess Hamas has a right to do October 7th again and again and again without any military response. Wow. That's his position. How could you be more pro-Hamas? I mean, how overtly? I mean, people say, oh, that's an implicit. So, no. He may as well, have a, Hamas, banner over his head or something. I mean, it's disgusting. Talk about a lack of moral clarity. And as I say, it's precisely because Israel is by far the most civilized place in the area. They promote a culture with free speech. People can have different opinions. Jews in Israel can have opinions this obnoxious, which shows you just the degree of freedom of speech that exists in Israel. Do you think that anything approaching the level of this freedom of speech among, there was a debate with Michael Leibowitz earlier in this week where he was saying, come on, there's got to be at least some. I can't tell you how many. There's got to be some. And he made the point that, well, geez, if 90% of the people around you are pro-Hamas, it would be very dangerous to even open your mouth in any kind of pro-Israel or anti-Hamas way if you're a Palestinian in Gaza. Look at the opposite situation in Israel. In Israel, you've got multiple Jews, multiple Israelis who are perfectly willing to take, in effect, the Hamas line. They have that freedom of speech in Israel. Nothing like that exists among the Palestinians. Nothing like that exists in Saudi Arabia, Syria, or Iran. And if you can't see the difference, just these useful idiots, who are worse than idiots, as you point out, at least provide a vivid example of how civil liberties are far more protected in Israel than any of Israel's neighboring countries.
Thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Thank you, Frank. Frank says protesters chased AOC, demanding she say genocide. Yeah, I kind of like it when the left goes after their own over this, but yeah,
Oh,
it's
there's a furious thing going on among Democrats in America right now.
yeah.
After the Michigan results, which m showed 100,000 Muslims in Michigan, in effect, voting non-committed rather than for Biden, and the difference in Michigan this year might be smaller than that. So it is a real issue, and Biden and Kamala Harris are now being the pusillanimous cowards that, of course, we knew they always were. And stabbing Israel in the back completely right now when it comes to the attack on Rafah and a demand for ceasefire and more aid and all this other crap. I understand that Benny Gantz was met with my vice president in Washington.
I wanted to just briefly, before we get to that, you mentioned, you mentioned the debate I had with Michael, or it was part of the reality show. We had a disagreement, which was, I'm sure, entertaining to watch, but I later realized that there were a few points I could have made better, one of which is, we covered this story of the guy who ran on October 7th to the IDF to say, look, this is happening, basically to alert them. This was an Arab, formerly in Gaza, now living in Israel. I think his wife was killed. That is somebody I have sympathy for.
Yes.
The people in Gaza, again, I would have sympathy for individuals who we know are actually doing this, but we don't know of any such people. So there's no sympathy for imaginary people, even if there's a valid reason to imagine them. Another thing is, we've said, and I want to make it very clear, if Israel was doing the right thing in this war, the Palestinian suffering would be much, much worse than it currently is. The suffering of the Palestinian people, because they did October 7th, they celebrated it. It is their culture. And what Israel needs to do is cultural change in
Right.
Gaza, on a massive scale. So if anybody,
psychological effect. Yes.
so if anybody is suffering, again, that's a good thing. And what they should do to alleviate that suffering, going back to what is actually happening, which is not Israel fighting the way I would like it to, and pretty much saying release the hostages and it's over. Go and release the hostages. You're suffering and your own suffering. They're held by families. It's not easy, but it should be less than, for Israel. If Israel did the right thing, it would be less difficult than
One of the
than.
things the UN report told us confirmed what the report that we ourselves discussed a couple of weeks ago about the atrocities, the vile mutilation and sexual assault of women and children and old people on October 7th. We went through all that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't see that this culture is a culture producing homicidal mad people. It is the culture we need to get to. One of the points you made was, look, even if you are an innocent living in Palestine, it is your, in effect, moral responsibility to either try and take out Hamas, even at the risk of your own life, or try and escape Gaza, even at the risk of your own life. This current situation, which is, if it is life and death, if there are women and children suffering in Gaza right now, it is all Hamas's fault. And if that life is a life and death situation, it should provide clarity for the context. Folks in Palestine, if you are innocent, you are in a life and death situation. It makes it morally incumbent on you to make life and death kind of decisions, even if it means risking your life to fight Hamas, even if it means risking your life to try and escape. Now, I'm not going to impose that moral judgment on any individual that I don't know the context of. So I guess in that sense, I kind of agree with Michael, but you're absolutely right. The suffering as such of the Palestinian people is precisely what needs to happen right now, precisely what Israel needs to inflict on the Palestinian people right now, and the world needs to see that it is 100% Hamas's fault.
I want to say, Christian says in the chat, I understand Razi, but he is really harsh sometimes. I want to make it clear. First of all, unlike the Palestinians, I don't enjoy the thought of people suffering. What I want is for this to end. And
Right.
we know how things go when Israel does things in a certain way. The certain way is what Israel has been doing for decades is taking more and more steps towards what the Palestinians supposedly say they want or would agree to have peace under such terms. And the more we take those steps, the worse the situation is in terms of terrorism. The population in Gaza was not what it is today, in the early years of what they call the occupation. This was not the case. Israelis would go into Gaza, for shopping and stuff. This shift happened because Israel said, let's give whatever they want to the Palestinians and whoever claims to be their leaders in exchange for peace. That does not work. The thought of people dying in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and in Dresden is not something that I see as positive. The result of
No.
it is something that I see as an absolutely wonderful thing, which is Germany and Japan are now some of the two of the most civilized countries in the world. That is what I want to see. I would love to see that among the Palestinians. It's hard to imagine now, but this would be the only way that would happen.
We are the ones arguing for a policy, as hawkish and harsh as it might seem right now. We are the ones advocating a policy that will bring a termination. That will bring a termination to this warlike activity. It is only if we take a strong, clear moral and military stance and we are able to say that the suffering of the Palestinians is 100% the fault of Hamas, do these forces of civilization stand a chance here? And unfortunately, we're totally undermined by current Western philosophy. And as I say, it's the very fact that Israel is the more civilized, educated country that makes them unfortunately more subject to the rotten ideas of Western civilization.
So James, we are out of time, but both you and I will be off the channel for about a week. And I did cut you off when you started talking about Gantz. Was it Gantz who did
Yeah,
the?
Benny Gantz is now visiting the West, I understand, Washington and London. And I'm not sure he has Netanyahu's approval for that. So is that a member of the war cabinet breaking out of?
He does not have Netanyahu's approval for it. And yeah, as much as I despise Netanyahu and would prefer Gantz, despise him as well, but prefer him as prime minister,
Yeah.
this is really a disturbing way for him to act and for Western leaders to act, to say we'll accept, we'll have this unofficial visit with somebody who is, even though now he's in the coalition, he really is in effect the leader of the opposition. He is the alternative. He's the one who, according to the polls, would be prime minister if there was an election today. So he went to Washington. I think he's now in London. He hasn't called me for a coffee, but
I
anyway.
don't think he's going to call us.
Yeah, this is really disturbing because it really is Israel's supposed allies meddling in internal politics, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Well, then on that positive note, and we have gone over time. Thank you, James. We have the reality show ex reality show not extra reality show regular coming up next. The title of that is Israel's immoral treatment of Hamas detainees. So are we basically turning into a Lonely Green TV? You have to stay tuned to find out what we mean by that. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Definitely tune
And
in, and you have a good time at the Objectivist Conference in Amsterdam.
thanks for doxing me to our trolls. I'm sure now everybody is
Sorry.
but yeah, thank you. And yeah, see you all soon.